Happy birthday to the church. Approximate number 1,990. Celebrating the day, according to Acts, when people of different tongues could communicate with and understand each other, each in his, her own language. But aren't these all Galileans? You see, city folks in Jerusalem thought of them as country bumpkins, so their comments were really a put down. But the disciples were speaking of the mighty acts of God, the very heart of the Jewish faith. What does this mean? People asked. They're drunk, some said. Nope, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning and they haven't even been to the 10 o'clock service yet. Jesus' disciples were with Jews from modern-day Lebanon, Iraq, Iran, Turkey, Egypt, Greece, North Africa, Israel, and Rome. In other words, the whole world. But why were they there? Observant Jews were commanded to travel to Jerusalem to commemorate the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, the anniversary when, according to Exodus 34, God gave the Torah to the Hebrews at Mount Sinai. Now, there's a subtle connection between Shavuot and Pentecost. Just as Matthew presented the Sermon on the Mount to remind Jewish people of Mount Sinai, Jesus as the second Moses, so Luke presents Pentecost as the coming of the Spirit to fulfill Torah. As Jesus said, I came to fulfill the law. September 13, 1993, I experienced such a moment. The day before, Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin and Mahmoud Abbas for the PLO had signed the Oslo Accords. Remember that? Declaration of Principles on Interim Self-Government, a new possibility for the Palestinians. From St. George's College, I followed a jubilant flow of people, mostly Palestinians, many with olive branches, that ancient symbol of peace, to a high school gym down the street. Recognizing each other from an earlier gathering praying for peace, a Palestinian Muslim handed me a stem of fresh olive leaves and in his Arabic accent said, "Thank you, good Christian." With tears in his eyes, he gave me a fierce hug. Now, I don't understand Arabic at all, but somehow I understood everything. Content and meaning of words spoken there. Amidst the cheers, I absorbed the joy of a possible new era. Now, it didn't come to pass, but in that hopeful moment, no separation between Muslim, Christian, or Jew, all gathered there together. No separation between Palestinian or Israeli. I think Pentecost must have been something like that. No magical translation that day, no correction of the Tower of Babel story, or translation from Babel.com or Rosetta Stone, but total acceptance of each other, no matter the heritage, assumption, or fear, a gift of spirit we call holy. Pentecost, joyful ideas communicated by heart as well as mind. Joyful feelings which can open intellect and doubt to new possibilities, replacing anxiety and mistrust. Whatever happened, it was an experience of Jesus' disciples with other devout Jews, so genuine, so full of gladness and joy, that it was contagious. Imagine their exhilaration experiencing the Hebrew hesed, loving care. Jesus was a product of that loving care. It's always been there in Hebrew scripture. Comprehension would come later as the unconditional love they experienced from Jesus descended on themselves like tongues of fire. And remember, just about any time you read fire in the Bible, translate feelings of presence of God. Another dimension dawned on me. Pentecost was a corporate experience. Growing up in evangelical Oklahoma, the emphasis was on the personal experience of Jesus. But detached from a community, a person can be vulnerable to ideologies without corporate or historical correction. We've seen that today, that lack, as religion has become a political power, never a healthy match, ever. The Anglican attitude of scripture, tradition, and reason can provide that needed correction. Now, preparing for this, I was curious, what was the social situation in Jerusalem that day? So I looked it up. It was an unsettling time. Caligula, causing a crisis in Rome, caused a financial crisis and in Jerusalem, and the first open break between Romans and Jews. With the help of the Parthian army hired for the occasion, Antigone reasserted himself as king of the old Hasmonean Empire, capturing Jerusalem from the Romans, Herod escaping to Rome with his life. It didn't last long. In the year 70, the Romans took it back, destroying the temple in the process. So, Pentecost 2023, U.S. of A. Also an unsettling time with financial, political, judicial, medical crises. Many Christians and people of goodwill of all traditions are trying to bring people together across denominational and religious lines. But there's a worrisome, mean-spirited wind blowing across our country that reveals a growing impetus mindful of the rise of authoritarian governments in the 1930s. And I mean, it's really scary. Using the levers of democracy, Christian nationalism, steeped in the power of white supremacy and masculine privilege, is abusing religion, perverting symbols of the Christian faith to promote racism, sexual bigotry, anti-Semitism, and self-righteously denying women health care and bodily autonomy. Anti-intellectual, it's removing books from school libraries, burning books, just as Nazis did. Its attempt to destroy the separation of church and state was exemplified last week by the Texas legislature passing a law requiring that the Ten Commandments be posted in every classroom. Need I mention Uvalde and ongoing massacres with military weapons in civilian hands? It's all part of this whole thing. Under the banner of Christianity, Christian nationalism is self-righteously trying to impose on everyone their beliefs, ancient cultural attitudes masquerading in religious clothing, trying in the name of Christ to impose a punitive moral code onto the American legal system. It's giving Christianity a bad name here and abroad. I don't discern the loving, accepting spirit of Jesus in any of that. Once I was dealing with troubling issues in a sermon, and a man came up to me and said, "You've gone from preaching to meddling." Well, maybe it's time we started meddling a little bit. Thank God Pentecost, like Easter, is an existential, present moment experience, not one relegated to the past. The Spirit that loving attitude of Jesus, which I believe goes across all religious traditions, can descend and liberate us from ancient cultural taboos and lead us into hesed, that loving care. Both prayer and action are required. As the poster proclaims, pray devoutly, hammer stoutly. Pray and get involved. It's time we Episcopalians stop leaving politics to narrow, mean-spirited, legalistic brothers and sisters of the faith. Together with all people of goodwill, we can focus on, work for, the essence of religion outlined in our baptism covenant with its affirmation of the value and uniqueness of every human being, calling us to respectful, loving, caring relationships. People of goodwill must get to work in the political arena, not relegate that sphere to those who would destroy it. And believe me, that's a possibility. As we saw in Germany, possibility always. When will we ever learn? I think a guide comes from the words Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, also during a tough time, telling them, in essence, grow up and take responsibility. He wrote, "We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together in every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working perfectly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love." I think that's how we can be true to the Spirit of Jesus in our time, be his church, and make a contribution to a just, caring society. It is in that spirit that I wish you a happy Pentecost.